Okay, we're going to look at someone in Baptist history this morning. We're going to look at a man who was actually a signer of the Declaration of Independence, John Hart, a true Christian patriot, and want to tell you his story this morning. As I said, John Hart was saved at a very young age. He became a faithful member of the Hopewell Baptist Church in Hopewell, New Jersey. Later, I'll mention this probably later, but he would, the land that he had left towards the end of his life, he would give all that land to what really is mostly the city of Hopewell, New Jersey, but for the church to build on and to have a cemetery there. But he was not a preacher, he was not an orator, he was a farmer, and we don't know a lot about him until he was about 60 years old. We do know some about him, but not a lot, and what we do know is primarily in his old age, just before he died, after age of 60. But he was one of the revolutionary patriots who really voluntarily incurred a great degree of suffering without any possibility of individual gain on his part. As I said, he was a farmer, and he was known throughout the state as Honest John Hart, had a great Christian testimony, and that is part of our story this morning. But he entered John Hart entered the Continental Congress in 1774. He was 60 years old. And in 1776, he took his place among the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And I read you from Cathcart, who was the Baptist historian. He says here, 2 days before the Declaration of Independence was given to the world, the British landed a huge army, a very powerful army at Staten Island. And John Hart realized 2 days, that would be July 2nd, 2 days before the signing of the Declaration, that when he signed his name to that document, that his home and his farms were on the highway that the British would march down. And, of course, the British were given a list of all the signs of the Declaration, and they went after each of those people as much as they could. So he realized that his residence was right there, great big bullseye written on his home and his farms, his family. And so he had a dilemma. Would he sign this document? Of course, he did. Historians say that he eagerly signed the document. He was very energetic as a 60-year-old and was very excited about signing the document, knowing exactly what it probably meant. But he signed it knowing that for sure it was going to bring down their vengeance in a week or two. He knew that everything he owned, except the soil that the house stood on, would be destroyed, his dear ones scattered, his children, his wife, and possibly even his life taken if he was captured. And yet he did not hesitate to sign, though it might prove his own death warrant. In the days to follow, terrible things happened to him. If you can imagine, and I just think about, you know, think about yourself, if everything you owned was burned to the ground, there's no insurance, there's no hope of ever getting it back, possibly your family scattered and killed where you would not see them again. But everything you've built for 60 years, gone, all your wealth. Imagine that. And in the days of files, exactly what happened. His family was fled for their lives. His crops were burned. His livestock were eaten or killed. They were driven away as his home was burned down. And his wife, as it would turn out, was gravely ill during this time. And he was going to her bedside and trying to be with her in her last days. But then he had to leave and run as the British came after him there. After that time, after his wife died, it was said that history says that he slept in caves in the woods. Even one night he slept in a doghouse with the dog because the British were on patrol and they were coming down in that area, and it's the only place he could find that they wouldn't look at. But for a year, this 60-year-old man really suffered, and he said he was not able to sleep in one place two consecutive nights. And so he was continuing on the move, and as I said, his wife had just died, but his spirit wasn't broken. After the Battle of Princeton, he returned. He convened the legislature in Trenton, New Jersey, and then as a 60-year-old man, he joined Washington's army as a private. Very excited and giving his all to the beginnings of our country. In 1776, he was elected Speaker of the House of Assembly there in New Jersey. That same honor was conferred to him for the next 2 years as well. And then he built the Baptist Church there I'm not sure the story there, if that church had been burned or what the story was, but he rebuilt or built that Baptist church there in what is called the Hopewell Baptist Church in Hopewell, New Jersey. And as I said, he gave the land to that church, which is now most of Hopewell, New Jersey, as well, and he gave it to them for their building and for a cemetery. And then on May 11, 1779, he went to be with the Lord after all this laboring and suffering from his many, great persecutions that happened to him. In 1865, about 80 years later, the state of New Jersey erected a monument to John Hart. They erected it near the Hopewell Baptist Church. And at the dedication on July 4th, 1865, the governor of New Jersey, Joel Parker, gave a stirring oration, and this is part of what he said. He said, "As his public career was without blemish, so was his private life, pure and exemplary. He was a consistent member of Old Hopewell Baptist Church. He was a true patriot. I am of opinion, after careful examination of the history of New Jersey during and immediately preceding the Revolutionary War, that John Hart had greater experience in the colonial and state legislation of that day than any of his contemporaries, and that no man exercised greater influence in giving direction to the public opinion which culminated in independence." Unfortunately, John Hart didn't even live to see the fulfillment of his wish of freedom, for he died before the Revolutionary War was over. It ended 2 years later. However, he's remembered for his dedicated years of service, and for all that he did for his family and his country. He was not a professional politician. He was a farmer. There was no gain in this for him, except that he loved what would be the United States of America. And rather, he led the way in these brave and sacrificial deeds that he did. I think of his reputation as honest John Hart, known throughout the state as a very, very honest Christian gentleman. And I think about how that we have divorced God from our country, from our government. The phrase separation of church and state has been used to separate God out of our nation's government. However, I think that it was never meant to divorce Christian morality and honesty from the realm of government. And I thought as I read this that we should dedicate ourselves to truth and to honor, and maybe we will be an influence on our nation just by the power of our convictions, and as this man was. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for this great man, John Hart, almost an unknown man. Probably most of us never heard of John Hart before, but a signer of the Declaration of Independence. All right, I'll just, if you'll